Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the... So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Tracks deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, children, what's that sound?
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those Muslim old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table over here on ShazizRadio.com. If you'd like to come and join in on the conversation, you could add me as a contact on Skype, username Shaziz, or you could just jump over there to ShazizRadio.com/superchat.html and join in on the chat. So, I'm getting ready to play a short little podcast here of a YouTuber out there. It's video. But before I play that, I wanted to say that we don't develop our beliefs overnight, you know. Matter of fact, societies don't just develop their beliefs overnight. These are, you know, things that are passed down from generation to generation. And when you are raised up and family teaches you things and you start getting older and wiser, you start realizing that truth is subject to the honesty of the person telling it. So, you know, sometimes it's not even a case of honesty. Sometimes it's just a case of what they were told before they told you what they ended up believing. And in modern day media, we all know that the propaganda machine behind the mainstream media is pretty strong. It's been around for a long time. It goes back to even back to when they just had newspapers and such. And so with that said, you also have to be leery that even in alternative media, the game doesn't stop just because you went from one source of media to the next. So I always say that you have to be careful when searching for the truth as to what to believe or not. When people paint with a wide brush, I become skeptical. And I do, because, you know, when you hear things like, you know, America, you know, America's a bad people, or America's a bad place, you know, America's done this, America's done that, or, you know, any of the other nations out there for that matter, or whenever they start coming out with, you know, the Muslims, or the Christians, you know, and it paints every single individual out there with the same wide brush. You know, I'm from America, and I don't agree with certain things that are going on that the government has done in the past and in the present. And so, you know, as an American, when people around the world are burning my flag, you know, that my symbol of my country or something like that, I get kind of frustrated, because to me, that flag means a whole different thing. You know, I've got family that were veterans in World War II. I've got family that were veterans in the Korean War and the Vietnam War, and all over. I've come from a long line of military people, and every single one of them had beliefs in God and country, and they believed that what they were doing was fighting for freedom and justice. Now, we could sit around and debate forever and a day whether or not that they were lied to or propagandized to believe what they believe. But you have to understand, as a person and an individual themselves, they came up through the same system that you did. And they were taught certain values and views on the world. And so that's how they formulated their thoughts, that what they were fighting for was freedom and justice. Now, here in the year 2015, as we've been able to have access to the internet and look back into the past and see all the things that have occurred and stories that may or may not be true, and now we have this big, massive buffet of information to sort through, to pick and choose and try to formulate an honest view on things, we got one heck of a chore in front of us, because we don't know the truth. None of us probably will ever know the truth until, you know, we meet our maker. But in the meantime, we got to be careful about information that's coming to us that is being painting any group of individuals with a wide brush. Because as a Christian, and looking back in through history and thinking about how the Christianity had been hijacked by different radicals or nutcases or whatever, the same thing could apply with Islam, you know, that knuckleheads took things out of context or took them to the extreme and did terrible things in the name of their belief system. And it's not just on the religious side of the world either. It's also on the political side of the world. And manipulation and propaganda has been around since pretty much the dawn of time. You know, a lot of wars were started over somebody pretty much insinuating somebody else did or said something that was offensive to somebody else. And I'm hoping that this great awakening that we've all been talking about people waking up in the world, has bestowed upon us some wisdom that is actually going to make us cautious. You know, as we step into the future and we pay attention to all the things being said and all the events unfolding in front of us, knowing how to discern whether or not something is a false flag, as they call it in the conspiracy world, or a propaganda piece or something. Which is hard to do, because in today's modern day media, with digital manipulation and actually being able to make people sound like they're saying something that they're not, you know, tampering with digital audio and such, it's kind of hard to find the truth in this big old mess. But know this, I know a lot of Americans, and I'm an American, and I come from a long line of veterans who believe that they were fighting for freedom and justice. Every day that I do this show called the Knights of the Round Table, I'm sitting facing a copy of the United States Constitution that the biggest words on the entire page are "We the People." I won't go into a big reading dissertation of the United States Constitution, but I'm also standing in front of a couple different things that I got a copy of the Holy Bible sitting in front of that United States Constitution. Got a little statue that says "In God We Trust" on it. And a little American eagle holding an American flag. I also got a picture of my grandfather and two of his buddies from World War II. And so, I was raised to be patriotic towards my country. I was raised to believe in freedom and justice for all. And that's, to me, what American is, being American is all about. Now, there's factions out there in our government today that, as far as I'm concerned, they're corrupt. They do a lot of dirty deeds, and they try to manipulate the people into backing those dirty deeds. You're not going to get the military to rush out there and fight with people unless they believe that it's just. So episodes such as 9/11, there's a lot of questions to be asked about 9/11. Who really brought down the towers? Was it really the way that the mainstream media portrayed it? A lot of questions there. But it's not "We the People" over here. It's not "We the People" over there. When I hear terminologies about, you know, the way that they say it, you know, the Jews, the Zionist Jews are ruling the world and they're doing this and they're doing that. Anytime somebody lumps all of one, whether it be religion or one political group, all into the same deal, I have to be skeptical. You know, I don't agree with the Democrat version of the political system over here, but I don't believe that all Democrats are evil fools, you know. I believe that there are certain individuals who are in seats of power who are Democrats that have an agenda, and they want to make that agenda work for them. What it all boils down to at the end of the day is that money. You know, money's at play in all these political systems and all this propaganda out there. It's all about money and resource. And so with that said, I'm going to go ahead and play this this podcast here. And keep in mind that this doesn't necessarily represent the views of myself here or even any others here at ShazizRadio.com. But it is something to consider, because if you pay attention, you can see that there is a turning of the tide, so to speak, when it comes to mainstream media, as to the fact that it seems to me and many others that the mainstream media is getting worried. They're starting to get a little bit concerned, because the folks that they backed aren't necessarily doing the best for all of humanity, if you understand what I'm trying to say. So I'm going to go ahead and play this little short podcast. It's about 10 minutes long. And just listen to what the people's talking about in here. And I'll come back and talk some more to you. And hopefully we'll have some of the Knights of the Roundtable have joined us in here. So here we go.
This live coverage, we have Ken O'Keefe, former U.S. Marine, who joins us in the studios here in the Capitol Tehran. Rodney Martin, who's a former U.S. congressional staffer, who joins us from L.A., Los Angeles. Thank you, gentlemen. Ken O'Keefe, I'll start with you. This should, I would think, be a warning signal to some of the countries supporting the terrorists in the war in Syria, in particular the U.S., Turkey, and Saudi Arabia.
Yes, well, I hope actually that it's even more of a wake-up call for us to realize that we are ISIS, that the Western governments that are in bed with Saudi Arabia, who is the primary funder of ISIS, along with Qatar and other Gulf states, we not only provide the political cover and military assistance to Saudi Arabia while it slaughters innocent people in Yemen, but we also provide the cover for them to go ahead and do their dirty dealing with these psychopaths who are running around Syria and other parts of the world as well, Iraq. Let us remember that before the United States invaded Iraq, there was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Look at it today. Let us also remember that when Gaddafi was in power in Libya, there was very little Al-Qaeda. And in fact, now we look at it, and it's an absolute basket case full of these operatives. And we look to Syria as well as yet another example of where these problems were actually quite under control in terms of Al-Qaeda. In fact, Bashar al-Assad was assisting the United States, this is all on record, in a very meaningful way. In fact, many of the tortures that were being carried out were being done by Bashar al-Assad, or at least his regime, in order to extract information from people that we were supposedly fighting. I believe that it is beyond any doubt for any sensible person to realize that not only is the United States providing the financial cover, military cover, political cover for these terrorists through our proxies, but we've also, in pure technical sense, provided the training for these people in Jordan and Turkey. Another one of our best friends has been shuttling these psychopaths across the country from Turkey into Syria for a long time now. So, the idea that the West is actually fighting a war against ISIS is beyond ridiculous. So what we really need to do is start realizing the fact that we are ISIS, and the reason why our corrupt, treasonous governments are carrying out these policies is because they do not represent us. They represent the bankers, and the bankers make a hell of a lot of money off of war. And more importantly, as long as we're all fighting each other, as long as we're all not trusting each other, as long as we're all simply being played as pawns over and over, then they can maintain this tyrannical system of never-ending war. So this is really the wake-up call. What has happened in Paris is us. We are responsible through our corrupt governments for all of these policies, and even if these individuals who carried this out are not directly working for Mossad, CIA, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, all the same thing, even if they did this organically of their own volition, believe me, that is exactly what our so-called governments want. That is what the policy that we've been fostering over and over. And quite frankly, if we're to look at ISIS, ISIS stands for Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. They never attack Israel, and that in itself also tells you a lot about who these individuals are.
Well, some of the events there, Ken O'Keefe, that our guest Rodney Martin talks about in terms of Islamophobia being created again, or more policies to exercise against Muslims, well, maybe this is what the intent is behind these attacks. If there are any hands at play behind the scenes of some of the countries involved in this so-called war on terror.
Well, indeed, that's the case, and it's just more of the same now, isn't it? Now, I'm a non-Muslim, and I am angry at the way Muslims have been portrayed around the world. I have lived in Muslim lands, and I have experienced some of the greatest hospitality and generosity that you will ever experience, and yet Muslims in general are being associated with this monstrosity, this most recent monstrosity known as ISIS, which again I say is Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, and also Al-Qaeda previous to that, Al-Nusra Front. All of these things are intended to smear Islam as a whole, 1.8 billion people on this planet, to associate them with this sort of madness, when in fact it is us in the West that are creating this stuff, funding it, very much protecting it. In fact, America has been providing air cover to these psychopaths in Syria and Iraq largely. And we see that when Russia comes in and actually does something constructive, look how long many of these men are shaving their beards and running off with their heads, tails between their legs. It is really, really, really disgusting that people have been conned into thinking that Muslims have anything to do with this. And let us harken back to the original incident which has caused this madness known as the War on Terror. The so-called 19 hijackers and Osama bin Laden is one of the greatest fairy stories ever created. The idea that this man in a cave in Afghanistan on dialysis was masterminding this incredible operation in the United States with 19 so-called hijackers wielding box cutters, Mohammed Atta among them, snorting cocaine and hanging out with strippers in Florida, that these people are responsible for this event in defiance of the greatest military machine in the history of mankind, never mind all of the evidence that's come forward that makes the official version of 9/11 beyond ridiculous. Muslims did not carry out 9/11. In fact, those who blame the Muslims, primarily the Jewish supremacist Zionist-controlled media of America and the government which is controlled by these Jewish supremacist Zionists in America, all of them parrot the same ridiculous, tired old line that Muslims are responsible. And this is an agenda which is intended to create a clash of civilizations. And if we are smart as people, we are going to see the agenda for what it is, and we're going to realize that those who are collaborating in this agenda need to be held to account for literal war crimes and crimes against humanity. And I'm including in that, not just the politicians and the military, but those in the media who have perpetuated these lies, because there is no way that they could possibly believe this nonsense. These people have literally sold their soul to the service of the devil.
This is a piece of breaking news that's at the bottom of the screen, Ken O'Keefe, that states, it's a message from Assad to Hollande. France suffered on Friday the brutality of terrorism that Syria that has plagued Syria for more than 5 years. That's quite telling in terms of what Syria has experienced. Your reaction to that statement?
Yes, it is truly incredible that we listen to anyone, whether it's Francois Hollande or Obama or any of these other puppets, as if anything they says has any merit whatsoever. There is no moral authority at all in the West. When these people get up, they are an embarrassment to all of us who have a functioning brain and a heart. These people are traitors, whether they come from France or whether they come from Britain or America, and everything they say is to be taken as complete and total rubbish. The idea that France and the West is not directly responsible for the mayhem that has been occurring in Syria is again beyond ridiculous. We know for a fact how we've been supposedly funding and supporting the moderate rebels. There is no such thing. Even recently, a U.S. general admitting that there may be 4 or 5 of these people in Syria. The entire policy is intended to create havoc in the Middle East, and it is extremely important that people around the world begin to fully comprehend that these policies that are being carried out in the Middle East are actually not failures. I'm getting sick of hearing so-called experts talking about geopolitics and how America is failing to learn from its mistakes and all of this nonsense. These are not mistakes. These are intentional policies to wreak havoc, to sow the seeds of sectarian hatred. Again, let me cite the fact that before we took Saddam Hussein out in Iraq, there was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Also, when we played this game in Libya, there was no such thing as ISIS and all of this madness that's going on in Libya today. Syria, again, while it had its problems, and it certainly had its human rights abuses, most definitely did not have the problem that it has today. Every country that we touch in by Western policy, every country that we touch in the Middle East is full of these monsters. Let's look to Iran, the country that we claim to be the biggest threat to everyone, the Israeli Jewish supremacist agenda, which constantly tells us that Iran is the big threat to the world and that it wants to wipe Israel off the map. Let's look at Iran. Let's look how many attacks by Al-Qaeda and ISIS are occurring here. Let's look at how Iran has been fighting MEK, a true terrorist force that has killed over 20,000 people in the last 20 years or so. This nation is fighting terrorism legitimately. It has provided sanctuary to Jews and Christians historically over the millennia. It has not indulged in any war for hundreds of years other than the imposed war in which we forced with our attack dog Saddam Hussein, and yet we are being told that Iran is a threat. Here I sit in Tehran, and I can tell you the threat from ISIS is next to none. And the reason why is because Iran is not a player in this nasty game in which Saudi Arabia, Qatar, other Gulf states, Turkey, Jordan, ourselves, Britain, France, all fund, train, support, and ultimately are responsible for these monsters running around in their latest branded name, ISIS, which I will repeat a third time stands for Israeli Secret Intelligence Service.
We're going to end it there. Thank you so much for that. That's Ken O'Keefe, former U.S. Marine, here in the studios with the statements.
Hey, guys, this is Brian from High Impact Flicks. Thank you so much for taking your time to watch this video. If you want to see more content like this, just Click that big red subscribe button down there, and as soon as I upload a video, you'll be one of the first to see it. If you want to follow me on Facebook, it's facebook.com/highimpactflicks, and on Twitter at highimpactflicks. If you want to see more videos right now, just click on some of these right here, and they'll open a tab for you in a new window. Remember, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. You guys have a great day.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I wanted to play that because, well, to some extent, I agree with some of the things that were said in there, but to other extent, I still have my questions about who's who and what's what and that whole mess over there going on. But one thing that stands true about this whole ordeal is regardless of where you stand on this and who's actually behind the scenes, whether, you know, in my belief, it's the international bankers and the folks out there, the money men of the world, because war is profitable, you know. It was also said at one point in time that the greatest way to get out of a depression or a recession is go to war, because you build up your industrial military complex machine. You could sell stuff and medical supplies and food and bullets and guns or whatever. And so with that said, you know, war is a money-making machine, and somehow or another, they have managed to keep us in a perpetual state of war for all nations out here. It doesn't matter whether you're in America or whatever country you're in right now. You can't even go to on vacation and get on the plane without being frisked down and run through metal detectors because, you know, you could be a potential terrorist, or there could be a potential terrorist, so on and so forth. But we really have to be cautious whenever we're listening to these stories that come out in any direction, whether it be from the government, the mainstream media, or the alternative media. I just, when I hear a direct painting of any group of individuals, it doesn't matter what group, whether it be the Muslims, the Christians, the political views or different Democrats versus Republican, so on and so forth. You know, the folks in charge of all the information, the folks in charge of the school books, you know, pretty much somebody said at one point that the victor of every war writes history, you know, and basically gets to skew it to their favor, more or less. So with that said, it's one heck of a chore, folks. It's one heck of a chore to try to discern what's right and what's wrong, what's true, what's not true. If indeed everything out there in this world is as bad as what we've been hearing, mankind is in terrible jeopardy. Nature is in terrible jeopardy. We can look up in our skies and we can see that people are spraying things in the skies, and we can look down at the trees and we can see that the trees are becoming sickly. We know that the weather's kind of crazy here and there, but the views that everybody come out there with, the whole scaremongering of the global warming / climate change / climate disruption, carbon tax, you know, they might have actually had me there for a second until they started tacking money into the deal. Because when money overrides science, as far as, you know, truthful observation, you know, the scientific method or whatever, when money starts to become into play there, and they start to say, you know, we got to charge everyone a carbon tax, you know, we got to charge everyone, you know, you got to pay your taxes because we got to get the war machine going, so on and so forth. I start to wonder, you know, every doomsday out there sells a whole lot of product. Every terrorist behind the bush sells a whole lot of product. Not to mention the fact that it seems like every event seems to equal up to a little less freedom around the world. You know, Thomas Jefferson said that the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. Which means you pretty much got to be on your toes, because there are individuals out there that don't mind keeping you enslaved. There's individuals out there that don't mind killing in order to make a dollar. A lot of people around this world are being tormented, tortured, and even killed for a lot of crazy belief systems or whatever. But once again, you can't take your paintbrush and paint every single person out there who calls himself a Christian. You can't paint them with the same paintbrush that all the radicals on the on that side. The minority doesn't represent the majority. It's really hard to explain, and it's disheartening at the same time. Because as an American, when I hear about people suffering in the world, it doesn't matter to me what color they are or what their belief system is. All I hear is that there are people suffering. And when I hear that there are people suffering, I feel it. I feel it in my heart. I feel it in my soul, because these are people. These are our brothers and sisters around the globe. You know, there's a lot of individuals out there that don't have the same views as I do. I love them just the same. And rightfully so. We should be loving our friends and our families and people around the globe. We should be our brother's keeper. We should be our good caretakers to the land, the animals, the people. We should be taking care of one another. We've been given such an amazing gift, you know, of life and freedom and just this planet alone. Whether you believe the planet's flat, or whether you believe it's a globe, or whether we've been to space or not to space, or whatever, you know. Well, whatever the truth is, someday we'll weed our way through the whole entire mess, and we're all on this path. We're on this journey, and some of us have taken different paths, but we're all going to end up there at the same spot before it's all said and done. And then we'll find out what the real truth is. Maybe we'll get lucky, and together on the way we'll find out what the real truth is. But in the meantime, we shouldn't be squandering what it is that we've had access to all along. There's enough resource around this world to take care of every man, woman, and child on this planet. There's enough wisdom and knowledge to share amongst each other to ensure that if somebody lives in a bad area where the weather's terrible, that we can build them a safe home for their family and children. That they don't have to worry about that storm. There's technology out there that we can build things that will last. Clean, renewable energy, that's not something that's science fiction. It's been around all along. We just got to do it. It's as simple as that. We can't wait around for representation to do what we should have been doing all along. You know, nobody's going to clean up your backyard unless, of course, you pay somebody to do it. Nobody's going to clean it up but you. And it, you know, the government, they took a phrase, if you see something, say something. And they put it out there as fear. Pretty much fear. You know, everybody, I listen to some of these folks out here talking on the media, and they're talking about how, you know, people look at each other and they don't know whether the other guy's a terrorist, you know. you look at somebody you never even met before, and the thought runs through your head, they could be a potential terrorist. I could be a potential terrorist. Because I have a belief in freedom and justice, and I believe in the Constitution, and I believe in my God. So that could make me a terrorist. Even though if you knew me in person and you knew my heart, you would know that there ain't no way in the heck that I would go out and torment people like that. There ain't no way that I would attack the innocent in order to get my agenda through. My agenda here at ShazizRadio.com is so simple that it's just ridiculous. Is that I got family, I've got children, I've got grandchildren. And I want to see them grow up in a free world that they don't have to, you know, walk around the corner and peek to see if it's safe to go, or be afraid what's behind the bush, or the boogeyman under the bed, or the ghost in the closet. I want my children to have a decent chance at life. And I want those children across the seas and other side of the world to have the same opportunity and the same luxuries as everyone else. You know, people talk about, well, we're going to bring the America down to a third world status, you know, so everybody's equal on the same equal ground. Why? Why not bring those people up to America status? You know, why not bring them up to the same comforts that we got? It's not like they don't have the resources over there. We've got machinery that we could go over there and we could build for those folks. We could uplift them. We can teach them how to farm. We can help them irrigate. There are solutions to every single problem out there that together, we as the nations, can do these things. And we don't have to have some sort of one world government to do it. I want Russia to remain Russia, and I want China to remain China, and America to remain America, and so on and so forth. But all I expect is that they all work together to get things done. I want them to remain their own culture and their own nation, because I want the checks and balances that it takes, that no one individual becomes a superpower across the entire globe. Because with power comes corruption. It says something about power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's true. It's the reason why communists never work. Communism never worked because at its core it probably sounds pretty good. Everybody's taken care of. But you got one government that's in control of everything. They decide who gets what and what's right and what's wrong. When it should have been the people deciding all along. When it should have been you, the individual, knowing deep in your heart what the difference between right and wrong. You know, there's individuals out there that believe in natural law. You just do no harm. You don't harm people. And if you're not doing harm to people, and you can live peaceful with one another and in freedom, then what more can you ask? A free society that nobody is running around trying to chop each other's heads off because they don't like the way that they believe. What right would it give any man to chop my head off just because I profess to be a Christian? It don't give them any right. My life is my life. It belongs to me. It doesn't belong to the government. It doesn't belong to any of you out there. Your life is your life, each and every one of you. Your life belongs to you. It is between you and your Creator where you go, what you do in this world and beyond. Nobody has the right to take that from you. But if we're blessed with all the things that we've been blessed with so far in this life, then we should reach out to those folks out there who aren't as fortunate. The whole phrase homelessness shouldn't even be a phrase. It shouldn't even be something that we even have to talk about. Nobody should be homeless. You know, if a man chooses to wander the land living in a tent, but that's his choice, that's how he wants to live, that's one thing. But when a man is so sickened by society, or a returning veteran from some terrible war out there, and has just fallen through the cracks of society, and everybody looks at him like he's trash, oh, get that homeless man out in front of my business, because he's running my business. Why not go over there and give that homeless man a job? Why not say, hey, brother, here's some money. Go over there and get you a motel room and a good shower and some clean clothes, and come on over here and I'll get you a job. Get you some food in your belly so you'll be comfortable while you're working. And together we'll work this thing out and help you get on the path to a better life. That's the way it should have been. But instead, you would get on the phone because, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Call up the local authorities and say, you know, I've got this person out there loitering in front of my deal. I believe he's a homeless individual. And he might even be intoxicated. So along come the police and tell him to move along, or maybe even told him off to the jailhouse for vagrancy. And you just made that man's life worse. Because if there is a fine involved in the thing, and you know the man's homeless, you know he probably ain't got no money to pay that fine. Then when he does get out of jail, eventually now he's got a warrant for his arrest because he never paid his fine. Which steps up the crime just a little bit more. Now he's got a larger fine, and he just finds himself getting in deeper and deeper and deeper until finally he's sucked into the prison system, and that's where he spends the rest of his life. In and out of the prison system. You know, a man with a little bit of wisdom and common sense could step back and look at the big picture and understand why society is the way that it is. We've given up control of our lives and our freedom to people that we claim not to even trust. Most of us don't trust the government. Most of us think that the governments of this world are all corrupt. And I'd venture to say, even if it puts my reputation on the line, that there probably is a few good people in the government. At least they're trying to be good. Just like there's probably a couple police officers out there in this world that probably are trying to do the right thing, that are trying to be honorable. That spend their whole lives just trying to stay out of trouble and keep everyone safe at the same exact time. It's my firm belief that there are more good people in this world than there are bad. And it's the minorities of bad apples that take our society down into the abyss of eternal war and eternal slavery. And you know, folks, they just want to be safe. You see all these big dignitaries out there, the important people of the world, that always have armed guards surrounding them to keep them safe. Keep me safe, keep me safe, you know. And then they look down at the people, because there might be some crime down in society down there. We got to disarm all these people out there. Nobody gets any guns, except us, because we got to be protected from you guys. You know, a good healthy fear of the people, of the government's all right. The government needs the fear of the people. The government works for the people. At least they're supposed to in theory. It's like I said, communism sounds good in theory. Question is, who's going to be in charge of the government out there? So when you're out here and you're trying to weed through the news and all the stories and trying to find the truth of it, and you got to weigh the facts with what you've seen, the information that you got, if you dare to travel deep into the Matrix, the rabbit hole is deep. And once you're down there in that maze, the things that you will find, the people that you will meet, whether they be beings or spiritual or whatever, gives you a whole different view on reality. Gives you a whole different perspective on how to look at things. And the spirit of deception is strong in this world. There are people out there who choose to deceive to get ahead in this world. You know, truth is subject to the honesty of the person telling it. And as long as I've been doing my YouTube channel and my radio show, I've always told people, don't ever believe nothing I say. Don't judge me by what I say, judge me by my actions. Judge me by what I do. And if I tell you something, go out there and double check it. Research it. Knowledge is power. And that stands true for whether you're at the top or the bottom. You have to know what streets are safe to walk down these days. You have to know what's legal or what's not legal wherever you're at. It's a maze of laws and regulations and rules and so on and so forth all over this planet. What's good for one area might not necessarily be good in another area. And you can find yourself while you're going on your travels and your journeys through life, find yourself getting in trouble for something you didn't even know was wrong. Be nice if we could actually get down to the natural law state where essentially the law is do no harm. You know, the basic Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, so on and so forth. The whole mentality of treat others as you'd want to be treated yourself. This is the way that I look at life. And I tell everybody out there whenever I listen to all the different ways that people talk about Christianity. I tell them, that's not my view. That's not why I call myself a Christian. If you just go and read the stories, and you just listen to the story, I don't even care if God ends up being a fairy tale. I don't even care if Jesus ends up being a fairy tale. I don't even care. What I care about is that when I listen to the stories of the things that Jesus said, to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, I agree with that. Thou shalt not kill. I agree with that. Thou shalt not steal. I agree with that. And as far as the ultimate sacrifice of giving your life, sacrificing your life to save the souls of all these people in the world, people you don't even know. If he was just a man and he didn't even know anybody else, but he sacrificed himself on that cross. The ultimate sacrifice of love, that you would go through all that torment for somebody else, regardless of how bad they were. I agree with that. You know, talks about loving your enemy. That's kind of hard to do. But I agree with that. Because at the end of the day, even that jerk over there is still a person. So for me, Christianity has nothing to do with religion. Has absolutely nothing to do with all the stories of the great crusades going around and burning witches and so on and so forth. Don't have nothing to do with all that to me. And I'm speaking for me personally. What it has to do with me is the difference between right and wrong. And Jesus Christ didn't come down here to start a religion anyway. To me, Jesus Christ wasn't even a Christian. He was the Christ. So that's why I call myself a Christian. But I don't run around. I don't force people to believe what I believe. This is my own personal choice. I chose to believe what I believe. Because I read that book and I liked what the basic golden rules. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Natural law. Do no harm. So as we wander around out here in this world, we try to find our way from one point to the next. We got to be careful about what we hear. We got to be careful about what we see. We got to be careful about what we believe. You know, there's a phrase out there called destabilization, where they go in and they send agitators in to destabilize a nation. For whatever propaganda or for whatever purpose or agenda that they have at hand that they want to get out there, and they want to break this country up because they don't agree with the ruler of that country, and they want to go in and steal their resources or whatever. And so they will do things that make it look like the other guy did it. Burn your own building down, blame the neighbor, that kind of deal. We got to be careful. Because the spirit of deception is heavy in this world. We're seeing it. And the propaganda and the divide and conquer. You know, you send the one agitator into a group of wonderful people and you can get everybody pitted against each other. Because they haven't understood that there are those out there who will come. They will show up. When you're on top of the world and you're trying to do something right, and you're trying to preach good, peace, hope, and love, and common sense, and spread the message that, you know, there are others just like you out there, there are people that will come. Whether they're called trolls or propagandists or government agents or whatever, they will come. You know, in my belief, the closer you get to God, the harder the devil's going to beat you up. That's the way it works. It's unfortunate, but true. If I had one wish in this world, just one, I'd have to be really careful about what I wished for and how I phrased it when I wished. But I think that the biggest one that I would wish for is that everybody could know the truth. That everybody could know the truth of what our reality is. And from that point on, if they choose to destroy one another, then hey, I wash my hands of it and I walk away. Because there's no more you can do. If everybody finally knows the truth, and they still choose to be stupid, then what can you do? But the good thing would be that once everybody knew the truth about everything, you know, who shot Kennedy, where's John, or what, Jimmy Hoffa, so on and so forth, everything. You know, it talks about in the last days the veil being lifted and all truth should be known. You know, unfortunately, there's folks out there that don't want that veil to be lifted. That guy that's over there preaching about pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. He don't want nobody to know what's going on there. That's the last thing he wants. I've hadn't even thought and even said, as crazy as it sounds, maybe the reason why they keep spraying crud in the sky is because they don't want us to see something that's up there. Maybe something's on the way they don't want us to know about. But it's just a thought. You know, I don't base my final judgment or belief on just thoughts. I take the time to research everything under the sun. Is the earth flat? Is the earth round? I don't know. Tell me both sides and I'll decide. Show me the facts. That's the way it works. Learned a long, long time ago, you just can't believe everything that you're told. Otherwise, you're going to get fooled. There's a song out there that says, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. Makes sense to me. And I'm not apt to falling for anything. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That kind of deal. What's going on out here in this world is an information war of epic proportions. A disinformation campaign. A deceptive spirit. A mind-bogglingly large deceptive spirit engulfing all nations. And we the people have to find a way to discern and weed our way through this mess. There's good people in all cultures, folks. There are wonderful souls in all cultures. Whether they've been deceived into believing one way or the other doesn't make them a bad person. And because you might be down on religion, because that's, you know, something you think is a control factor, then step away from religion. If you're down on politics, then step away from politics. Just step back outside that box and just watch the entire world. Watch the whole system and judge those out there by their actions. Not by a label. Are all whites bad people? Are all blacks bad people? Are all Russians drunks? Are all Irish folks angry drunks? Who want to fight you all the time? Scottish? How about Canadians? Chinese? Japanese? No, I'd submit to you that you can't paint any nation or any race or any religion with the same doggone brush as those who would skew the truth and who would distort the facts in order to further their own agenda. Now, if you find a group of individuals who call themselves jihadists that are running around chopping off people's head, then the whole world steps in there and nips that in the bud and stops it right out of the gate, and they're held accountable for war crimes. I mean, a direct focus on the criminal himself. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say to you folks. This quest for truth that we're on, this quest to make the world a better place, regardless of whether you're a believer in a higher power or not, we all still live together on this rock that we call Earth. And we all still have to try to survive in a world gone mad. There are those out there who are going to mock and ridicule us. I got a private message. It's, ha-ha, some Irish listen here. You know, there are... there are stereotypes for every single person out there. And you'll hear it. It don't matter what nation you are. You know, some countries, in some cultures, Americans are Yankees. Yankee, go home. I'm not even necessarily sure I even know what a Yankee is. I know what a honky is. I've been called a honky once or twice. And I'm not even sure what that means. I've been called everything under the sun. And then some. But when it all boils down to, I got friends in Ireland, I got friends in Scotland, I got friends in Russia, I got friends in China, I got friends in Japan, I got friends in Canada, I got friends in Mexico, I got friends all over this globe. Or flat earth, whichever one you choose. And I know from the time that I have spent communicating with these individuals that these are wonderful souls. These are brilliant-minded individuals who really care. And they want to do something good for people. They really do. And it's my firm belief that those are the majority of the people. Those aren't the minority that want to run around and kill each other. When it comes down to the whole concept of World War III, and the thought that World War III could be a thermonuclear war, because there's only so much you're going to do conventional before somebody gets wise or mad or whatever and decides, you know, we're just going to drop a nuke. We'll show you. And then it's like 4th of July, all heck is breaking loose. If it ever comes down to that, folks, there aren't going to be any survivors. And all those elite who got the deep underground bunkers, they must not understand the laws of physics. The same ones that they keep preaching on. They must not understand basic science. Because that deep underground bunker ain't going to save you. Eventually you're going to run out of air. You're going to run out of food. And if that is if you're lucky that thing don't split in half and you get some hot molten gas and lava coming up inside there and basically your bunker turns into a toaster or a toxic gas chamber. The best thing is that we just never have it happen. The best thing is that we learn from all the other wars. You know, they say that World War II was the war to end all wars. And now World War III, there was a guy who said World War IV would be fought with sticks. And spears and rocks. Ain't gonna be no World War IV. If it comes down to World War III, the bombs that they got these days, they're a lot bigger than the ones they had back in the day. And the ones back in the day killed a lot of innocent people. A lot of innocent people. Not everybody agreed with the war. Not everybody agrees with every single war out there. And it's my belief that the majority of the folks, if they had an opportunity to seriously vote on it, said no. Don't attack them unless they directly attack us. It's just a lot of work. It's just a lot of work trying to sort through all this mess. Now, as a kid, I was taught about America went to the moon. We made it to the moon. Hooray. And now looking back at some of the stuff and being older and doing a little research, I start having a little bit of questions. You know, can I say, no, we didn't go, but you know, my questions are leaning towards that. Maybe we didn't go. Maybe it was gotcha kind of thing, but the deal's been perpetuated this long. I couldn't tell you one thing for sure, because I ain't never been out of this atmosphere. I ain't never been to the moon. I couldn't go up there to investigate to see. I couldn't go up there to see if there's really a landing site. I couldn't go there. So I just have to take the word of the ones out there that are telling the truth. You know, truth is subject to the person telling it, the honesty of the person telling it. And if the government's telling it, well, you know, you can always trust your government. All right, well, okay. If that's what you say, I'm going to be skeptical, no matter who's telling it. And when they begin to paint with a wide brush all nations and all races and all religions and spiritual beliefs or lack thereof, do I think all atheists are jerks? No. Just the ones that get up there and start mocking and ridiculing everybody else because they disagree with what they believe. Do I think all Christians are good people? Definitely not. There are some folks out there who profess to be, and all they're in this for is to make money. Hey, look at me, look at me. You know? Standing on the street corner telling everybody, you're going to burn in hell if you don't listen to what I got to say. It ain't their choice whether somebody burns in hell or not. You know, my Jesus that I listen to, he talked about loving thy neighbor. He talked about helping people out. He washed the feet of the prostitute. He picked up a stone and said, let he who hath he without sin cast the first stone. And everybody who had a stone in their hand dropped the stones because they knew. They knew they weren't without sin. And he was the first one that went up and did the whole separation of church and state, even though separation of church and state isn't even in our Constitution. Just says Congress will establish no religion, basically making sure that Congress don't make you believe what they want you to believe, and that's that. You got freedom of religion. But it don't say that they can't have a picture on the wall. But Jesus went to the doggone temple and shoved the money takers' tables over because, look, if this is supposed to be a house of God, then your finances don't belong here. And when the man in the crowd said, well, Jesus, should we pay our taxes? And Jesus said, whose face is on that coin? And he said, why Caesar's? And he said, well, render unto the Lord what is the Lord's, and render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. So the coin was Caesar's game. The church was the house of God. So, when you talk about justice, the man in the fairy tale, the story, whatever you want to call it, to me, it's my belief system. He believed in the scales of justice. He believed that all men were created equal. And he walked this earth and he was put to death for what he believed. You ain't going to get no better sacrifice than sacrificing yourself for others, no matter what you believe, whether there is a creator or there isn't a creator. You put yourself in harm's way to protect others. And that is what I'm talking about. So I got a skewed view on everything, and I probably got a lot of folks out there that just want to wring my neck. But I go to church. I'll go to church as long as they ain't being hypocritical. As long as they allow the cowboy to sit next to the biker, to sit next to the black man, to sit next to the Chinese guy, to sit next to the poor man. As long as they ain't judging the person that's walking through the door by the way that they dressed, I'll stand there with them. There's a song out there called Jesus Rides the Subway. He's down there with the junkies, the freaks, geeks, and weirdos. That's what I believe in. The natural law portion of things. The do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And as American, I don't want to go over and bomb other nations. As American, if there's somebody out there that is hurting people, I do want to go stop them from hurting people. But I don't want that innocent individual over there who had absolutely nothing to do with that person's crime to pay the price for something that they didn't do. So I'm not going to indiscriminately say, yeah, I'll drop a bomb in that area and the collateral damage we'll just have to deal with because there's a bad guy there and we've been trying to get him. No, I would recruit all the other governments of the world and we'd literally walk in there and we'd get that individual and hold him accountable for his crime. There would be a trial. But it seems in today's society, the spirit of deception has us all pitted against one another. The propaganda wants to keep us apart. There's folks out there that want you to look at somebody differently because they're black or they're white. There's folks out there who want to use things that individuals done in the past to keep you in bondage here in the future. You follow my heritage back into time, you'll find out that I'm French Canadian / Cherokee. And I suppose I'm part white man and part Indian. Part something else, part European, I don't know. But I'll stand beside the honest Indian. I'll stand beside the honest black man. I'll stand beside the honest Chinese guy. I'll stand beside the honest Russian and all the other races and religions and stuff out there. I will stand beside, side by side with all these individuals out there who believe in truth and justice for all. Who want to pull that man up out of the ditch who's starving to death or hurt. Regardless. And it's my firm belief that you're going to find these individuals in all nations. It's my firm belief that the evil, deceptive spirits of this world, those wealthy individuals out there that figure they can manipulate and turn and twist the truth and make us want to fight each other, they're starting to get worried because of conversations such as this one. I'm going to keep believing in my God. I'm going to keep being a Christian. I don't care what anybody says to me. When I get to the other side and I find out what the truth is, I'll find out whether I was right or wrong. But in the meantime, I'm going to be the best that I can. Best person that I can. I'm going to try to treat everybody out there the same way that I'd want to be treated, with respect and dignity. And if I see that there's a need out there, I'm going to try to address it to the best I can, even if it's just a word, a kindest smile or something. Even if it's just being able to spread the message to somebody who is closer to that individual who can help. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. That's why I spend this time behind this microphone. That's why I reach out to talk to you all the time. I don't have all the answers, but together we do. We, the people of the world, we do. We have all the answers. We have all the resources. We have all the technology, all the knowledge to solve every single problem that there is on this planet. In the day that the great enlightening actually occurs, where all these people of this world realize that, hey, we should have been working together all along instead of fighting amongst each other, and we wouldn't have destroyed it and everything. Look back through history and look at the pictures of the wars. And one thing is common in every single war, every single picture. War is painful. War is sad. War is destructive. And war never gained anybody but the wealthy man a little bit more gold. Those at the bottom and those who were in the trenches, they're the ones who bear the scars. Mentally, physically, socially. They bear the pain. And they carry it with them in their hearts and souls forever. The things that they either had to do or saw. And believe it or not, folks, veterans aren't just in militaries. Veterans are in all nations. There are many veterans in this war that we call life. There's veterans in the war on terror. There's veterans in the war on drugs. There's veterans in the war on people. There's veterans in the war on God. There are people out there who are suffering from things that they had to see and deal and do. And in my book, in my belief, none of that would have been necessary had we just followed the simple of the golden rule. Had we just followed natural law, do no harm. I'm going to take a breather and I'm going to play this song by Deep Purple called Perfect Strangers. Don't know what it is about this song, but it just... It's pretty much... When I hear this, it's what they want. They want us to be perfect strangers. They don't want us to know each other. They don't want us to talk. And when I say they, I'm talking about the great deceivers of humanity. The traitors of the nation. The traitors of the governments. The traitors of just humanity in general. It's what they want. Traitors in the media. For whatever agenda, they want us to remain strangers. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Hope you stay tuned. Peace and love, everybody.
Place where high place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble. No pleasure here on earth I find. No friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. It's fare thee well, my old lover. I never expect to see you again. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps you'll die upon this train. You can bury me in Sunday Valley for many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
Table. All rise for King Caesar the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table over here at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in, you could jump over there to www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html. That's where you get actual opportunity to not just talk to the folks in the Shaziz chat room, but you can also talk to the wonderful individuals over there in the Wake Radio chat room as well. And there's also other links to other networks out there that probably have their own chat works going on, people-to-people radio, and so on and so forth. But anyway, we were talking about all the propaganda and all the different painting of people with wide brushes and stuff. And just try to point out the common sense side of everything. You know, not everybody out there is a bad person. I believe there's a lot of good individuals in this world. Most people out there today that you listen to believe that they have no power to do anything about anything that's going on. They feel like that nothing they do or say is going to change it. Nothing they do or say could stop World War III from ever even occurring. But it couldn't be further from the truth, because if you pay attention to trends in society and all different countries, and they do pay attention, the Congress and the Senate and the representatives do pay attention to what's going on out there, because not all the time do they want people to become restless and angry and upset, and to the extent that they're going to protest or maybe even riot or whatever. A lot of them are in fear of their own safety as far as that goes. But the power of the pen and the power of the spoken word are a lot stronger than one would be led to believe. The things that you say and do out here can resonate to other individuals out there that would get them motivated into standing up and speaking out as well. You know, I don't believe in going standing in front of a sign, a place, a government place, and protesting and rioting and fighting with the police and all that kind of stuff. But there is something to be said for a respectful letter. Sit down and pen out a letter with your concerns and worries to different governments and agencies around the world, to let them know that you disagree with something going on. And there's a microphone out there for you. There's a platform up here. It's shazizradio.com. If you got something you need the world to hear, then come here and deliver a respectful message, an honest message, truthful message, the truth to the best of your ability, to what you've been able to weed through from all the stuff that you've researched. Sit down and pen a letter up to your representatives around the world and tell them, you know, you as an individual, maybe speaking for yourself or maybe speaking for an organization or another group of people who are concerned about the same exact thing. And maybe take one letter and write it and have a bunch of people read it, and if they agree, they sign it as well and send it in. There are people that read those letters because they want to know what the people are doing down there, what the people are thinking. But if you never use those tools, if you never use the power of the spoken word or the power of the pen, you never do nothing with it. But you'd be surprised. Often said, it'd be kind of cool to see if a person could follow a smile from their face around the world to see how far it went. A good word of encouragement or something. It's those little positive pebbles that I keep talking about throwing a pebble into the pond and watching the ripples affect everyone in the pond. The same thing that in the world. Each and every one of us are on our own personal spiritual journey, our own past, our own path, our own quest for truth and justice and whatever it is that we want out of life. And through that journey, we're going to come across people that we don't necessarily agree with, and they don't necessarily agree with us. But regardless of our beliefs, if we leave them a lasting impression, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the best way to teach people what Christianity is for me to try to do the best job I can to be as a Christian. If that's what I believe, then I have to lead by example. I have to show love. I have to show what the true message to me was about. I don't have to go out there and scare somebody or threaten them or yell in their face. I just have to practice what I preach. Like our so-called president of these United States. On one hand, out there fighting the global warming climate agenda. Carbon, you know, we got to get this under control. We got to save the planet. But at the same time, as commander-in-chief of all the military, would send a drone over to drop a bomb on a foreign land to get a supposed terrorist. And in the process, potentially take out what they classify as collateral damage. Or what I classify as the innocent. Women and children who had no part in the whole deal. And the sadness of it all was to listen to a reporter ask a couple little Palestinian girls, "Do you ever want peace with Israel?" And they said, "No, we hate Israel. They killed our mom and dad." And those words resonate in my heart and my mind so heavily. Because what you just heard there is a future soldier against the other side. The Hatfield and McCoy thing. That for so many generations, people don't even understand what they were fighting for to begin with. Was it over the love of a woman or a pig or whatever? Somebody said something mean to somebody and it perpetuated a war that just never seemed to end. Don't judge the individuals out there by the past of their forefathers. Judge them by their actions in the here and now. If my people are oppressing your people, then let's work together to get my people to stop oppressing your people. Had I have been alive back during the days of the slave trade, I'd have been one of those ones that they called the Underground Railroad. I've been trying to hide people. Been trying to protect them, to move them into safe areas. And truthfully, I believe that at least 80 to 90% of all the individuals out here in this world would be doing the same thing. It's the small minority of people whose hearts are filled with hate and racism that seem to be able to take words and manipulate them to justify them to say what it is that they want them to say. When I look at that good book that they call the Holy Bible that everybody hates, that everybody mocks and ridicules, they say it was written by man. Well, somewhere in the process of that, a story or two got through. Somewhere in the process of that book being put together, regardless of whether or not it was made to enslave humanity or whatever, however you want to look at it, somehow or another, a couple good stories got through. Like the story of the Ten Commandments. Basic golden rules. Essentially, natural law, do no harm. And the story of a man named Jesus, who everybody out there talk about all the time, regardless of whether they like him or dislike him, believe he is or isn't. But the things in the life, the path that the story told, whether it be a fairy tale or not fairy tale, I agree with. Thus forth, I call myself a Christian. And so if the time comes that I'm proven wrong and that's not the real reality of things, then so be it. At least my path, I'm going to try to walk as close to that path as I can because I like what the guy did. And at the end, he preached what he preached peace and hope and love and doing unto others and taking care of everybody. He preached it all the way to death until they put him to death. So to me, I couldn't care less whether the Bible's fake or not. Those things in the book, somewhere along the line, some wise man 2,000 years ago said, hey, you know, maybe if we put this all together, maybe we can get people to stop killing each other. Maybe we can get people to stop stealing from each other. Whatever the truth ends up being. Well, how you doing there, Thomas? Can you hear me? You're live on air.
Uh-oh.
That a bad thing?
Late night. Bad day.
All right.
What are we talking about today?
We're talking about the world in general, brother. You know, life, love, propaganda, peace, corruption, and lack thereof, beliefs and not beliefs, and whatever. The fact that somehow or another, humanity has to come to some sort of common sense, logical realization that, you know, things like World War III need to be nipped in the bud before they get started, not after they get started.
Right.
And that if you paint everybody out there in any direction with the same wide brush, you know, everybody because he lives in Arkansas must be a redneck. Really? There might be some people in there that aren't rednecks.
Right.
You know?
Inbred.
Yeah.
They're in Arkansas, they're inbreds.
Yeah. As I mentioned on there earlier, you got a little bit of a response from D. Shug up there about the stereotype for Irish folks. They like to drink and fight, you know. Have you ever heard that one?
Uh-huh. There's actually a whole football team, if I remember correctly, called the Fighting Irish.
Yeah.
So.
And so, you know, that's basically what I was trying to point out, was that the labeling, the stereotyping, you know, not every white man's a racist, not every black man's a thief, and so on and so forth. These labels that people are put on out there are, you know, there's an agenda behind it. You can follow it all the way back. The divide and conquer tactics that keep people pitted against one another while the government runs corrupt. And even in the government itself, not every single individual in the government is corrupt. There are individuals out there really trying to fight, you know, to do the right thing. Now, are the odds against them? Well, yeah. You know, there's a lot of money on the line, a lot of resources behind the scenes. You know, wars and rumors of war. Gee. But there's people out there who know how to play the game. They know how to propagandize to get people to believe that certain things are occurring. So, you know, 9/11 happened. Suddenly we got a rally cry from around the world. We got to go over there and get them terrorists. You know.
Towelheads.
Yeah, there's another stereotype. Towelheads. Racist towelheads. Look, man, I don't know everybody out there in this world's heart. But what I do know is that everybody out in this world couldn't be as bad as everybody wants to try to portray them to be. You know, do I believe every Muslim out there wants to chop my head off because I profess to be a Christian? No, I don't believe that at the least. Now, we were all raised up to believe what we believe via our family, and when we got to a certain age, we started discerning between, you know,
it's true.
Yeah, the truth is subject to the honesty of the teller. And so if my grandfather believes in patriotism, there's a reason why he believed in that, you know? And he passes that on to me, and then I have to choose my path from that point on. You see where I'm coming from here?
Right.
So
patriotism is actually a very bad thing, simply because you're basically just, it's like a, you know, a religion where, like, you just accept it. You know, it's like, When it comes to being patriotic to people, like, you know, the government, it's like, the government is an influx of people. There's no way you can honestly be 100% right to believe or accept them as being right and wrong, you know? Well, because they come and go. You got, like you said, you got some good ones, you got some bad ones.
Well, my stance on it falls like this. You know, communism at its core sounds good. If you listen to the whole theory of communism, it kind of sounds good. You know, everybody is equal. They all got things taken care of. Everybody's provided for. It's community, you know, commune kind of thing. You know, everybody's taken care of. But the problem is, and the reason why I'm stepping back from that whole scenario is because who's in charge of the government? Who's the one that decides who's fair and who's not fair? Who's the one that decides your portion needs to be bigger because you're more important kind of thing? Mm-hmm. You know? It should be a matter of the people choosing from their own, their own understanding of what's right and what's wrong, is that, you know, everybody should be taking care of everybody, regardless of the ism that's put on there. You see where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what I wanted to point out with. I posted a video over there at shazizradio.com/superchat.html of a video that was out there, and I put a little notice on there that you have to be careful when searching for the truth as to what to believe or not. When people paint with a wide brush, I become skeptical, and that goes for anybody. It doesn't matter, you know, like, okay, I know there are radical Muslims out there. I mean, the mainstream media tells you all the time and all this kind of stuff. Well, I know what I know because that's what they said. That's the only information I have to go on. However, mm-hmm. The information isn't going to convince me that every single one of the Muslims out there want to chop my head off because this guy said. Now I'm going to step back and I'm going to watch. I'm going to talk to
them. The other thing too is they're not all going to follow their religion to a T.
Yeah.
No matter what religion it is that you're talking about. I mean, they just went through this whole ordeal where I think it was an abortion clinic shooter or something. They were responsible. The media was backing up the fact that this guy preferred to be a Christian and carry, you know, a Bible and all this other stuff. It's like, why are you refusing to admit that he's not refusing? Why are you, you know, saying he's not a religious extremist as a Christian, but you're willing to say that these people who are Islamic are Islamic radicalists, right? They're extremists. Like, well, it's the same thing all the way around. I mean, if you look deep enough, actually, most Muslims, at their core, don't say it's right to kill people of Jewish or Christian faith, because they don't call them infidels. They call them people of the book, or people of book, which means basically admitting that they're all part of the same branch, going back to the same creator.
Yeah, well, the way that the mainstream media portrays anything is
it's pushed as an agenda to get people to fight so the industrial complex can make money, because they're part of that industrial complex.
Well, they put things deliberately in play that are a thorn. You know, a guy's carrying a Bible, that means all Christian. You better keep your eye on it. There was another video that I watched where the guy was talking to a guy in France, and the lady says something to the effect that when you see other people, are you concerned that they might be a terrorist, right? So now the guy's trying to explain that, you know, he wants to show everybody love, but he can't hug everybody because, you know, he can't trust everybody, right? Well, they're putting it in the mindset of the average Joe out there to live in fear of people that you don't even know. You know, remember the saying called "Don't judge a book by its cover"?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because this guy may look a little bit rough, don't mean he's out to kill you.
Oh yeah, actually, you want to see something kind of kooky? There's actually a posting, and it's actually been followed through up in was it Chicago, I think, where this this group up there was like, look, man, if you're part of a group of people that are, you know, feeling like you're being terrorized by other people, doesn't matter if you're Islamic, you're, you know, Christian, if you're, you know, a pro-lifer, pro-choice or whatever, you got people that are harassing you, you give us a call. You know, we'll show up. We're just big mean dudes that'll walk you back and forth to the grocery store and make sure you're safe, you know?
Wow.
You know? So, I mean, you find you find the good eggs everywhere, you know? Everybody's telling themselves a bedtime story so that they don't lay awake all night thinking, what happens after we die? What happens when we die, you know? Well, nobody knows. So you got to tell yourself a belief story. You got to choose something to believe in, because you don't have any facts for that. There's no proof that there is or isn't a God, that this God is, you know, the God of Muhammad or the God of Israel, or, you know, the God that is the father of Jesus, or if, you know, he's the father of Thor. I mean, we don't know.
Well, you know, we really don't know anything. To me,
no, it doesn't.
As a Christian,
it doesn't matter. You know, this is the other thing too. Every single one of those religions seems to have this thing about if you don't believe exactly what we tell you in this book, you're going to, you know, the bad afterlife, whatever it is, right? They all tell you that, and if you look through, almost every single one of those are the foundation person that they're centering around was trying to free the people. Not oppress them. He was trying to give them freedom. So you have to wonder, did they really have anything to do with that section that basically tells you that you got to obey the people in charge?
Well,
you know,
what it boils down to is essentially this. I told a deal about why I read the book about Jesus comes up on the Temple Mount and there's a bunch of bankers up there doing deals and collecting taxes and so on and so forth. And Jesus...
Let me finish. Well, get the detail on that, because a lot of people don't get... They think, because there's money changing hands, he got mad. Yeah. No, people were getting ripped off. They were stealing from people. They were like holding their thumb on scales and stuff like that to basically cheat them out of their exchange of money and whatnot.
Yeah, well, let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, now listen. When Jesus went up there, as far as I'm concerned, he was fighting for justice. All right, well, when he up there, he shoved the money takers' tables over and was throwing them out and basically trying to tell them about this is supposed to be a house of God, this is not a house of finance, and so on and so forth. But one of the men in the crowd said, Jesus, should we pay our taxes? And then Jesus said, whose face is on that coin? And the guy said, well, it's Caesar's. And he said, well, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto the Lord what is the Lord's. And so, to me, that pretty much says, you know, it's like if I give you a shirt, Thomas, if I give you a shirt off my back, and then I go down there and I ask for Caesar, I said, or the government, I said, look, guy, I just gave Thomas my shirt. Can I have a shirt? You know, I never gave nothing to you. There was no sacrifice there because I expected something in return regardless of who it came from. You see what I'm saying here? When he threw him off to the temple, either that's going to be a house of God, or it's going to be a house to pretty much milk everybody for their money, and which leads to corruption, and you just corrupted the house of God. You see what I mean?
No, I would say that was ultimately it, though.
Yeah.
Is you know, it wasn't the money or the profit or anything like that. It was the corruption. To look at what he was angry about there, if you really know what he was talking about, and you look in the original texts and whatnot, you'd find that basically the very same things that he was angry about there, he'd be, you know, nuclear over what the Federal Reserve is doing right now. Nuclear.
Oh, yeah.
How they manipulate money policy and whatnot to basically steal from, you know, from the general populace to put it in the pockets of, you know, just a few of the people who are basically in control of the Federal Reserve.
Well, it all goes back to the doggone Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. All right, now we're mm-hmm. I keep on saying this, regardless of whether you believe in that book or not, the average Joe who has any decency and going all the way down to natural law, do no harm. You know, thou shalt not steal. It don't matter whether you're the government or an individual. If you're stealing from people, the scales of justice aren't balanced out. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite memes is actually the whole, Jesus, like, love your neighbor as yourself. And you get these other people on the side, a little bubble clear, carton over top of them. What if they're... what if they're Muslims, or what if they're gay, or what if they're... He's like, Did I stutter? So love your neighbor as yourself.
Well, in way back in Leviticus, it talks about judge not lest you be judged, you know. And it talks about...
And that's the book that they keep pulling a script here, a single script there about, not being gay, or not being adulterers, or not being this, or not being that. And I mean, if you want to follow the Bible to the letter, you can't celebrate Christmas. The man himself was quoted as saying, "These pagans and heathens cut a tree down. They bring it into their house. They decorate it with lights. You know, there are presents underneath it. They sacrifice a baby under it. Don't do this at all. Period." Do not participate in this idolatry. You know? So, the whole thing for Christmas, which was cooked up by the Catholics to get the pagans to come over, you know, it's like, we don't want to become a Christian. There ain't no cookies. Like, well, we'll make some cookies. We got this other slightly different flavored cookies. We don't have chocolate chip cookies, but we've got carob bean cookies. Come on, man. It's okay.
Yeah, the key is this, Thomas, and the key of this whole, the point of this whole conversation to begin with was the fact that you can't paint all these people out there with the same brush. You know, like I've mentioned, my grandfather was in World War II. I'm sitting here looking at a picture of him standing next to two of his buddies. Mm-hmm. And what my grandfather was fighting over there was, you know, basically based on his scales of justice, what he believed was, you know, right or wrong. Now, regardless of who manipulated the information until he got to that point right there, whether you believe that America was right for fighting a war or not fighting a war, those soldiers went out there for, you know, what they believed they were fighting for, freedom and justice around the world. All right? Now, here we are today.
They didn't have a GI Bill back then, so...
Well, now here we are today. All right? We can look back on history, we can see all the mistakes being made, and we can start to choose and discern whether or not things are right and wrong. I don't have to follow blindly that my grandfather was a patriot, you know, that, you know, this is America, go USA, that kind of thing. Do I believe that our country is perfect? No, by any means. But do I believe that our country is as bad as people around the world want to portray us? No, I don't. I believe that even people within our country are trying to divide and conquer this country. You see what I mean? It's...
Oh, that's just it. It's not... The most important people, they're not... Most of the people are not trying to divide and conquer people. They're just following... It's like a chain of command. And they're just following orders from overhead. You got a central group of people that have no allegiance to no country at all. They keep pitting all the countries against each other. They keep pitting the races against each other. Something as simple as the color of your skin being used to choose, you know, whether you can like somebody or not like somebody, whether you have to be for them or against them. Something as simple as what day of the week they decided to, that, you know, you believe that God decided to rest during the 7-day week creation thing is enough to divide a whole section of people from another whole section of people and pit them against each other. And it's all over money, which they're using as a tool to steal the land from underneath our feet on paper. Yeah. They think they already own it. They think it already belongs to them. And they just have to show some, you know, proof that it's theirs, or use some legitimate means to get the majority of the people they choose to use as enforcers to get rid of the rest of us. They just don't want around at all. If we're not contributing, they don't care what exists.
Well, I look at it like this, man. Did I just hang up on you and
No.
Make a mess or what? I look at it like this. You know, I don't know the full truth of anything, whether it be all the way from the legitimacy of my own spiritual textbook there, or the history of the government in general. What I do know is that I refuse to allow people to paint everybody from any belief system or lack thereof or political. You know, do I think all atheists are jerks? No.
Location and guilt. Right.
You know, so...
Same brush.
I look at people and I will make my choices on their actions, you know?
Right.
And that's the way that it should be, you know. If you look out there and you see that the black man is helping this white man up out of the ditch because he's drunk and homeless or whatever, and tries to get him some help, or vice versa, you know. This whole racial thing, I hate hearing the isms, I hate hearing the racist, and so you see what I'm saying, the tags that are put on people, the stereotyping of different nations and stuff. It's all propaganda.
You know that you, when you said you don't know about the legitimacy of your own belief structure, you took a step in the direction of called agnosticism, the I don't know, which means now you've taken a step in the direction of I'm not going to be a jerk to someone else over what I believe.
Well,
I'm going to honestly let them believe what they want to believe as long as they're not hurting anybody.
Maybe I can just very well see eye to eye with those individuals who are agnostics. And I can do that, you know.
And that's all agnosticism is the Gnosticism is knowledge. Agnosticism is the acknowledgement of the lack of knowledge. You know, you realize that it's not knowledge. Those things you held as knowledge before, they're just beliefs. They're theories. And you begin to realize that religion is much less important than spiritualism.
Well, and that's why I don't subscribe to any religion. I call myself a Christian, but my explanation of it is just mind-boggling because people don't get it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I call myself a Christian because I like to follow the teachings of Christ. The things that he talked about, I believe in. You know, the treating other people the way you want to be treated. I believe in that, you know. He wants
you know what we should do? We should probably start a new religion. It's called the Religion of Logic and Freedom. And we will pick through all of the knowledge out there, whether it be religious texts or it just happens to be the writings of Shakespeare or whatever, and build our book off of that, and just tell people, look, this is a companion religion for your other religion to kind of help you see clearly so you're not hurting each other.
Yeah.
You know, you believe whatever solid religion you want to believe of the old time, just use this as a handbook to understand your own belief system.
Book of Common Sense. Thou shalt not kill. You kill somebody, and somebody gonna want to kill you. And that was written over 2,000 years ago, man. The guy that put that phrase together, whether it be the Almighty himself or some individual with a common sense and a pen, you know, maybe the prophet was a wise man. If he said, thou shalt not steal, that's probably a good reason why, you know. Maybe there was a lot of stealing going on and everybody was stealing from each other, you know. And if you want to have some sort of resemblance of society or whatever, what do they call this? Doggone it, where everybody gets along kind of thing. Society in general.
Can't
remember the word I'm looking for, but civilization. If you want to have some sort of civilized society, then, you know, you have to have some sort of common sense rules in place, like natural law, you know, do no harm. That's as simple as you can get it. Do no harm. You know, and so...
Well, you want to be careful when you start invoking natural law, because natural law calls upon things like survival of the fittest.
Well, I don't want people out there killing each other because somebody's stronger. No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Right, and that's ultimately what happens is, you know, they either kill or they drive them away to, you know, potentially poorer land, you know. I mean, that's essentially what happened to the Native Americans here.
I'm going to stick to thou shalt not kill.
They were treated the same way that you see, like, a group of stronger wolves that will drive a group of weaker wolves that are not of the same pack out into, like, the desert away from the good land because that's their territory.
May sound crazy,
we've learned since then that we don't have to do that. We can all coexist. There's more than enough for everybody, and there's always going to be more than enough for everybody. As a general consensus, the problem is most of the people are fooled into believing there is some lack, there is some scarcity out there, you know, by those who want to sell it to them, whatever it is.
May sound crazy, but if I would have landed on Plymouth Rock and I would have been the explorer there and I kind of like wanted to stay there or whatever, I would have talked to the indigenous people there and I'd have said, hey, you know, sorry, I didn't mean to intrude on your place here. Is there any place maybe down the road down there that you guys don't mind if I, you know, use or hang out on or whatever?
Actually, we wouldn't be here if they hadn't done exactly that.
Well,
it's the people that came afterwards that once they started seeing their numbers growing and you basically got some psychopaths that found a way in their eyes to see those people as so different that they could just do whatever they wanted to them. It didn't matter what they did to them because it's us versus them that caused all the problems.
Well, I'd have stood side by side with the people who were there first saying, you know, this is your land. I'm going to help you protect it, you know. And these are my people coming over here doing this kind of jazz. I ain't going to have no part of that. See,
unfortunately, there weren't enough people standing with them like that, but there were some.
Well, then those some are the ones that get my respect, the ones that believe in justice, and I mean straight across the board.
And stood against all odds, too.
Yep.
So,
you know, they're all the way through history, kings and dictators and stuff like that did some really dirty deeds to people, you know. But as far as America stands right now, I get so upset whenever I hear people start downgrading, you know, America. You know, Americans and America. You know, America's a terrible place. You know, America's the great Satan, and even Americans talking bad about America. Not everybody in America's fat, stupid, and lazy. You know.
Well, and that's not even, that doesn't even matter.
It doesn't matter
how fat, how stupid, or how lazy you are. That doesn't make you evil.
I'm
the problem
skinny.
We have is with the people who are in control.
Yeah, I'm skinny, crazy, and kind of goofy looking, but I got common sense, peace, hope, and love in my heart, and that's what I want to share with the world. You know, and I'm an American. So, you know, I'm not out there wanting to go bomb everybody.
Right, and that pits you squarely against the people in charge, because the people who are honestly in charge, not the meat puppets we call the president or the senators or the congressmen or any of these other people, but the people who are making money off of this, that's who you have to look at. Who's making money? Who's making the most money off of an action that happens? Because the person that's making the most money off it, dollars to donuts, they instigated it. I mean, there are rare instances where somebody sees something happening and profiteers off of it, takes advantage of the situation, but most of the time when it's a big deal like that, they instigated it, and therefore they knew they were going to be in the right position to be able to basically take full advantage of it, you know?
Well, and that's where the power of the pen and the power of the spoken word have to start being utilized. I mean, the people say, well, you could write all the letters you want to Congress, they're not going to pay attention. Well, you by yourself maybe writing that letter is going to get shuffled off to the side, but if millions and millions and millions of letters keep piling into their office, you know, they're going to take note. Somebody ain't happy.
Right. Well, here's the thing, though, too. You write millions of letters for something. You demand something to be done. They will find a way to give it to you while they take something else away from you.
Well, then you have to write millions of letters back and give that back.
No, what we need to do is we need to focus on developing the technology that will free us and make it impossible for them to take what they're trying to take from us. I mean, that's why they're working on, you've got a group of people that are working on removing our guns from the populace. That's a piece of technology that gives us the freedom to say no. There still is some hope that if they push us too far down the road, too far into that gulag, too far into that Auschwitz, that we will fight, we will turn and start fighting back because we are mice with teeth. we can bite them. They won't pull those teeth out and be able to push us around, and we can't fight back at all.
And once and again, that's
what, and like I said, you keep people keep forgetting when you talk about guns, you think it's just a weapon. It's just a weapon. It's just a weapon. But what is a weapon? It is a tool, and a tool is a piece of technology. So the more technology you can arm the general populace with, and it doesn't have to be a weaponized piece of technology. It can just be a defensive type of technology. It can be a method of communication. Whatever it is that you're helping these people out, manufacture, creation, those are the manufacture tool. Manufacture technology is the most powerful weapon you can put in the hands of the people, because they don't have to rely now on a central hub or a central grid to get what they need from those people.
Yep.
So they can't be cut off and say, we're not giving it to you, you know. In fact, the biggest thorn in the side of the gun control nuts who want to basically remove all the guns from everyone in the U.S. is the technology to manufacture guns. You can have two pieces of equipment at home in your garage and make all the pistols and rifles you want with it.
Yep, 3D printers.
Well, No. We're not talking that advanced. We're talking just a lathe and a mill.
Oh, yeah, like okay.
Old school lathe and a mill. You can walk down to any Harbor Freight and pick up these two tools. Any Harbor Freight. There's companies called Wholesale Tool, and there are tons of specialized companies that sell, you know, tools for factories that any Joe can walk in there and buy one.
Yeah, you know, someday
$1,000 and you have a really nice one.
Someday if it becomes illegal to basically buy a firearm, there are going to be people making them anyway with their own tools, and then it'll become illegal for you to have the knowledge to buy one. So, you know, when does it stop? Well, that's why I keep saying this all the time. I want Russia to remain Russia. I want China to remain China. America to remain America. And I want all the separations of powers like the Constitution called for, the judicial, legislative, and executive branch, because I don't want anybody to have consolidated power in any tiny little tribunal under some UN agenda or whatever. I want all these checks and balances out there, because it is exactly the equivalence of what you just explained there about why people should have guns. You know,
and like I said, this is a simple fact. The only way we're going to get an honest, completely honest government is if it's completely transparent. Meaning, you can tune in online and look at what they were doing at 3 a.m. in the morning 2 weeks ago, and they can't tamper with it. If they tamper with it, you can tell it was tampered with, and then you start having to ask questions. What were they doing? They had to alter that video footage and that audio footage. You know, 100% transparency there. We need 100% to get a clean and proper monetary system that's not, there's no chance of being used for a corrupt process. We need 100% transparency there, too. Every single dollar needs to be accounted for, and we need to know exactly how many are out there.
Yeah.
And when they make more, we need to know exactly how many they're going to make weeks before they do.
And under the
so
freedom
we know, well, so we know exactly what it's going to do to the economy when this new money floods on the market. Okay. Now, there's another leg to this, and the general populace is going to balk against this. But we need complete transparency on the population, and we don't have to see, you know, every name of every person out there, but we have to be able to see, like, maybe have some sort of encrypted system like Bitcoin, where when a new child's born, they're entered into that system, so that at some point you see that number rise. You know how long it's been there. It's like, oh, there's another person that's come into the system, and now they are 18. They receive X amount of money as their entrance into the manufacturing labor force. Okay, they're now able to do something productively with their lives because they're buying for themselves at that point. We hand them, let's say, $500, right? And then throughout their life, the only tax that's removed from them is enough to basically guarantee by the time that they're ready to retire, we've taken that $500 back, but the rest of the money that they earn throughout their life, they get to keep, because that $500 goes to somebody else who just entered the labor force too. You know, so if we have an increase of 100,000 more people in population than we had before. This is what consensus system and the transparency system is for, is we need to know how many people there are out there that need money to survive, so that we know how much money needs to exist to keep an equal balance, so that everybody has got you have the same amount of fight to get that dollar that you're wanting to get today as you will have 100 years from now. So you won't have milk that's costing $1,000 a gallon 100 years from now. Instead, it'll still be $3 a gallon, just like it is right now. It'll remain stable, because those people who are selling it, when they know that the economy is not going to fluctuate like that, that the products are always going to be worth the same amount of money for that entire time, they can lower the profit margin they have to make sure they can survive. Okay, let's say they're getting it for $1.20 a gallon. They're selling for $3 a gallon now. The reason they're doing that is because they don't know if that $3 they get is going to buy them the same amount of gallons of milk to sell on and give them enough profit to pay their employees and whatnot. So they're creating a buffer by charging us more, creating a larger profit margin to make sure that they can account for that. If we eliminate the need for that, they can reduce that profit margin in that area, making everything cheaper, you know?
Well, a little bit of common sense could go a long ways in this world, man.
Well, there's only one group of people that make money off of instability, especially with the economy, and that is people who are either willing to gamble on whether it's going to go up or going to go down in the future, or the people who are not gambling because they know when it's going to go up and they know when it's going to go down, because they're in control of the money supply, which controls the value of all the products, you know?
Well, the whole thing about the media out there and whoever is behind the scenes controlling the media, you know, it's the same thing with the stock market. You could manipulate prices. You could manipulate people by telling stories such as, you know, hey, you know, I heard that this guy's going to have a bad crop this year. So, you know, if people rush out to buy stocks and something else or whatever, you know. This is behind the scenes.
They're stocked for that company that's growing that food because they think they're going to lose money.
It goes with war. It goes with finance. It goes with everything out there. That the propaganda out there, people will say all kinds of things to get you to believe whatever, to buy whatever. I mean, we're talking about a money-making system. I'm not against the money system. I'm against the corruption that the people out there have to be exposed to. Why should somebody in Mexico have to work for less than somebody in the United States? I don't see why that should be, or why they should have to work in worse conditions than they do here in the United States, or why a company from here could go over there and abuse those people and it's okay. It shouldn't be okay. Straight across the board, the scales of justice stink as far as I'm concerned, you know? But yet, if people support that system, just like they support the system blindly, you know. I don't support America blindly. I know America's got flaws. I know that our people have things that they have to sort through. We still have issues that are on the table, such as racist. But do I believe that every American out there is racist? Do I believe that that's so far? I believe it's the minority in every group out there. You know, when I hear people on news broadcasts or alternative media news broadcasts.
There's a real simple way to basically invoke the image that you're trying to invoke right now. It only takes one person to walk into a crowded theater watching a movie and yelling fire to cause a stampede.
Yeah.
You know? That's why it's illegal to go into a theater and yell fire. Because you get people hurt.
A guy rushes in there and starts hollering Allah Akbar, shooting up everybody. Is that representative of everybody else out there who were in along the same beliefs?
There's proof that that's not. Because in Paris, there was a bomber that was trying to get into a Coliseum or whatever. They were watching a game where the president of France was at. And it was actually a Muslim that stopped him and ended up dying with the guy outside the building.
See? And just because a man's carrying a Bible in his pocket don't make him a Christian, you know?
Exactly.
You judge that man by his actions. What is he doing? What is he doing to right. help people, or what is he doing to harm people? That's how you judge that man. Not by the color of his skin, or his beliefs, or lack thereof, or his political
sometimes,
views.
Sometimes you got to be willing to be a little more tolerant of someone being a butthole too. Because I mean, you got good, honest, nice people out there all the time that stand by idly while people choke to death because they don't know what to do. And it's that jerk that you can't stand is always talking about himself or whatever that went to medical school. It jumps up and you know performs the necessary quick tracheotomy to get the thing out of the guy's throat because nobody could get it out.
Yep.
Or knows how to do a Heimlich maneuver to force it out through, you know, compression, you know.
Well,
because you don't know what you're doing with that. You could stand there all day long squeezing on somebody and break their ribs and there's still things still stuck in there.
That's why I say that, you know, I feel like there's redemption in everybody's heart. There's a chance for redemption in everybody's heart. You know, and when I say redemption, I'm not pointing out any specific divine higher power or nothing, but you know, no, recognizing that you spent your life doing people wrong and then trying to make up for that or whatever, you know, it's as simple as this. The guy that you just explained in your story about being normally being a jerk and went over there with his wisdom and saved somebody's life. Alright, mm-hmm. Well, it's the after effect of what this guy does after that. Now, if he goes around shouting for glory, yell, look at me, hey, I just saved this dude. You know, you wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for me. No. You do the deed.
You know what, though? Hold on. There's some value in that, too, though. The next time somebody's choking to death and you're in a room full of people and you remember that guy running around cheering about the fact that he saved somebody's life, and you know, it's like advertising, come to me whenever you're choking to death. Because I saved his life. You know, it's painted a target on his head now, so anytime somebody's in trouble, they're going to go to him.
Yeah, well, if you learn something from the experience, then I guess that's a plus. But
right, exactly. So, you know, let him wander around and say how great he is. I mean, he should feel good. He just saved somebody's life, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if he starts treating somebody else like dirt over it, then you got to turn around and say, look, man, I don't care what you can do. What, you know, I'm not putting up with this attitude. You're going to get to hang out alone for a while here because I'm leaving.
Yeah.
I'm not hanging around you. I don't care what you can do. I don't know what you don't care how rich you are, how you know how many car rides you can give people, you know.
Well, I guess
sadly there are people out there that are just as bad as them that don't have those things that support that system because they are nicer to people based on what they can get from them, you know?
I'm guessing
there's a little video online of this guy that's like asking this girl out, and she's like, yeah, whatever, man, get out of here. You look like a bum. And then he goes to hop in this like really expensive race car, which is, you know, happens to be his, and she's like, oh, hey, you know what? I changed my mind. He's like, oh, yeah?
Huh.
Okay, hop in, let's go for a ride. And he pulls forward a little bit while she's trying to get in, just keeps doing that, and finally it's like, screw you. You know, you didn't want nothing to do with me when I didn't have the car. Now all of a sudden you want something to do with me because I got a car?
Yeah.
And he peels out and takes off, you know?
Yep.
Go, and he actually held his cell phone up and was like taking a picture. He's like, hold on, I'm going to get a picture of you so I can show my buddies what a gold digger looks like.
You know, Steve talked about a story yesterday where, you know, a guy that appeared to be homeless and down and out was asking him for money or whatever, and said he was hungry or something, and Steve invited him to go over and sit down and have a dinner with him and stuff, but the guy insisted that, you know, he just wanted the money, you know, and, you know, there are people out there who take advantage of people's good intentions, good heart, you know, but me personally, if I see somebody on the side of the road with a sign and they look kind of rough or whatever and they're asking for help, I'm not going to question whether or not they really need the help. I'm not even going to question whether or not they're going to go out and buy some doggone liquor with the money I gave them. You know, everybody's on their own journey. And maybe that makes me a fool, but it ain't my job to judge. And maybe that little drop of liquor was the only bit of, comfort.
Comfort and sanity for them for the day.
Yeah.
If you're that against them, you know, using what you give them to buy liquor, then you take the extra time to run to the store, pick up some food in a bag, and roll by and drop it off to them.
Yep. And even if the man takes the food and throws it on the ground and stomps it into the dirt, that was his choice. If he's hungry from that point on,
Oh, yeah, he done screwed himself at that point.
You've already
tried.
You better
hope not too many people saw that, because then nobody will be giving him anything.
Yep. So I kind of look at things like that, you know. You know, I'm not perfect by any means. I don't even profess to be. And I don't know the truth of everything that there is to know. I don't profess to. What I do understand is common sense, and I do realize, and I truly believe that the majority of the people out there are good people. They have been deceived. I mean, the spirit of deception is so heavy and thick in the day that we live in that you got to be careful. You got to pay attention to what's going on. And before you pull the lever and vote for your representatives, at least know who the guy or gal is that you're going to vote for. You know, even if you don't think your vote counts, at least know before you get cheated out of your vote. You see what I'm saying? You just can't blindly go pull the lever for just anybody just because, you know, he's on the blue team or the red team. You still there, Thomas?
Yeah. I had to step out of the room, so I muted the microphone.
Did you hear anything of what I said?
Oh, no, I muted the microphone. I can hear you fine. You just couldn't hear me.
But I'm just trying to say, you know, that people got to realize that they're not weak. They're not helpless by any means. I mean, you by yourself, you know, sure, you're up against the wall when it comes down to trying to tell.
I want
to
say, yeah, the voting thing, they have actually got, I guess it's only one instance. Maybe there's maybe more than one, but it's not very, very often where the Electoral College will actually go against the vote of the people. The problem, though, is that the people that you get to vote for are not the ones that we should be voting for.
Well,
so unless we have a mass write-in where every single person in the nation is writing in a third party that hasn't been bought,
if they're pretty,
then, you know, you're not going to get much change. And this is the thing, too. You have to accept the fact, if you were to push for an issue like that and you get somebody in that's not bought out, that there is a good likelihood if they don't sell out or they don't just like sit the term out doing nothing, which honestly, if they sat and did nothing, they'd do more good than most of the presidents that have been in office, okay, just by not doing anything at all, because they've done so much harm every time they've been in there, every single one of them. Even with it, when they have, you know, an intent, what looks like good intentions to try to help, they still end up causing more harm because there are too many other people that stick their finger in the pie.
Yeah.
And I mean, how good would a pie made by a chef be if everybody in the kitchen, say there's 20 people in the kitchen, before the pie came out, before while it was being made, they were sticking their finger in it. You know. So.
Well,
you get somebody elected in there that's not bought out. You have to accept the fact and responsibility that you might very well be sending them to their death sentence.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I believe there's been a few individuals. I think Kennedy was one of those individuals who, you know, was trying to do the right thing, and I believe that there probably were a few others in the process that tried to do the right thing, but. That's still, you can't let all that stuff scare you into not at least making the attempt, you know.
Right. Well, this is the thing, okay. If you look at both the both Lincoln and Kennedy, they were both speaking out against central banking.
Yeah.
And they were pushing to eliminate central banking. The greenback was something that was issued at that point and got recanted as soon as the vice president was in office after the president was shot, right? So you can't do something about this problem that we have with it on an open and visible scale like that. And I'm not saying hide what you're doing. I'm saying the people who aren't being watched, those of us down here on the ground level. That's why they're pushing for so much invasion into the privacy of the common individual, because we aren't being watched right now, and if we decide to start to do something, we can make a difference. Why do you think they want to watch us?
Well, you can,
because one person can make a difference, just like that guy in the theater that yelled fire.
You can
just because it was a bad difference he caused, he still caused a massive difference as one individual, starting a chain reaction.
You can get some sort of difference in the way that you spend that dollar or lack thereof. If you look. You said it one time before, kind of about the whole boycott thing, you know, target specific what companies that are doing people wrong, and just stop mm-hmm. giving them the dollar. The same thing with the government, you know. I'm not saying don't run out there and don't pay your taxes or anything like that, but there are ways, wisdom, you know. Find out the companies out there that are spending money to get certain people elected, and just don't buy from them, you know.
It's not quite that simple, because you got a cartel in some of those instances. So what you need to do is you need to choke them out across the board from having the money to do what they want to do. So if you think the oil companies, you know, pushing to get some sort of control, say they want to get fracking done in your neck of the woods, right? Well, the simple solution is to not buy from them, so they don't have any money to buy politicians, right? But it doesn't. You can't just do that straight out. You're going to have to literally apply slow pressure, right? You do the same thing they've been doing to us. You do the slow cook, slowly raise the temperature, without them noticing that you're basically boiling them alive.
Yeah.
You know, they won't notice by the time you get it hot enough that they're being boiled alive, right? So you go. You do what's like I said, what I called the revolving boycott, where you pick a company. And you insist on a lower price. And if they won't lower that price, you don't buy from them. You got four other oil companies to buy from. So you can still get back and forth to work. You can still drive your car. You can still have the energy you need for your own ongoing doings and whatnot. Meanwhile, that one company is starving to death. Sooner or later, starvation will cause them to break trust with their brethren, the other oil companies. And when they do, the next one will fall much easier, because now they no longer trust each other. They've violated their agreement with each other to screw you over by basically holding the prices across the board with each other at a certain level.
Yeah.
So after you get them to break, you push for another price decrease with the next company. You just tell them, look, we're not boycotting them anymore because they did what we told them to. They came down to the price that we wanted. So the new price that we're insisting on now that it's your turn is 25 cents less than what the old price was for the last company. So you just keep going around 25 cents, 25 cents, 25 cents, eating away from the gas price until you get the gas prices down to where the next company you boycott can't lower the price. They literally can't. They end up selling their company off and going into bankruptcy. You know now that the bottom level was that last increment. So you can say, you know, well, then, you know, the new company that we're going to boycott, instead of 25 cents, we're going to set it at 10 cents. It has to be 10 cents less than, you know, the other price. And these other guys, you know, you just keep doing this revolving boycott if they start trying to raise the price. No, back to that price, or we're not buying from you. And when you come down to that, then we'll come back and we'll buy from you, you know? Well, so now you're holding them down so they're not getting this massive profit margin per gallon to stick in their pocket, right? Which means they don't have this big, fat bank account. That bank account's going to start dwindling because they have ongoing expenses and unknown expenses and whatnot. They won't have the money to buy politicians anymore.
Well, the same thing applies with all the different deals out there, man. Whether it be the energy, electric companies, or food, whatever. If you use some common sense, it seems to me at least that if a man has to earn a living honestly, that he's more apt to be a better businessman as far as the way he treats his people than he is if he's just got everybody over the barrel. You know, I can shut your lights off anytime I want because I'm the power company. Well, right. You take a few light bulbs off your power grid every doggone month until finally you got a whole bunch of light bulbs off your power grid. Now their dollars are starting to dwindle a little bit. Hey, wait a second. We'll give you... Try this sometime. I don't care. Get you an internet service or a doggone satellite service or whatever, some sort of media like that, and call them up about a month after you've been on their service there for a while and say, I'm not satisfied with your service. I think I'm moving on because this other guy's got better. And watch how nice they are to you as far as offering you, hey, well, we'll give you this benefit package over here if you stay with us kind of thing. It works.
Well, you don't have to tell people to do that. Okay, as somebody who worked in the call center at Dish Network, I saw people trying to pull that all the time. California, I could almost instantly tell somebody was from Southern California by how nasty they were as soon as they got on the phone.
Yeah.
Okay, and these people literally, like, they're, you know, missed an install, right? Let's say something happened and the guy who was supposed to come in and install the dish for them and set them up so they'd have television didn't make it, you know, or maybe they stepped away while the guy was trying to get in or whatever and they weren't there, right? Well, instantly, when you start talking about, you know, sending these guys back to help them out, they work 7 days a week and make $1,000 a day. Right? So, they better darn well get X, Y, and Z for free to make up for that $1,000 a day they're going to lose by having to sit one of those 7 days that they have to work every day for, you know, to make up for that loss.
Well, once again, I'm not insinuating that anybody abuse that power of the pen or power of the spoken word. I'm talking about if it's a justice kind of thing. You do got power whenever you talk to people respectfully, you know.
Well, I say stop limiting yourself to just the pen. Stop limiting yourself to, you know, writing your congressman and start doing something yourself. You know, grow food in your backyard and share with your neighbors.
Well, there's the power of action.
Yeah, make something simple. Learn how to make something, you know. Don't kick yourself down before you've even tried. And understand that when you start trying to do something, you're not going to be perfect at it. That practice makes perfection, okay? You're never going to achieve perfection, but you will get closer and closer and become more and more proud of the work that you've done and feel better and better about yourself as a person from learning more of, you know, how to do things, including, you know, and adding more skill sets to your resume, whatever you want to call it, you know, the tally system that you happen to use of what I can do. I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. You know, I can cook, I can garden, I can clean, I can make buttons, I can, you know, fix cars, I can machine parts for, you know, for guns. We were talking about that earlier. I mean, anything you can think of.
Well, learning
how to make, you become one, like you said before, about one less dollar in the electric company's pocket. Well, you become one less dollar in the system, period. Because we have a corrupt money system right now, so stop using it.
Yep.
As much as you possibly can, stop using it. You know, and like I said before, if the cost of living, meaning all the things that you have to buy and you have to do to, you have to pay for to just to survive, is around $15 to $20 an hour. Right, it requires that you work $15 to $20 an hour to be able to afford all these things, right? Then that means that if you're able to do any part of that stuff that you normally pay for yourself and achieve a completion, then that means that while you're doing that, you're making $15 to $20 an hour. Okay, you're making the equivalent of $15 to $20 an hour. So how long is it going to take as you build your skill set and you trade with other people to build their skill set so that you only have to basically earn, go to a job to pay for, you know, let's say you do get yourself off the grid, right? You're not paying for electricity. You get your base rate so they don't come in and you know, mark your house as unfit for living, right? So you keep two lights on in the house and the rest of the place is running off of solar or whatever source that you're going to use to run your power off of, right? You're not buying food from the grocery store anymore because between you and all your neighbors and a few people you know that are, you know, just outside of the city limits so that they can raise larger animals, you're managing to get all of your nutritional needs of you and your family taken care of. You're only working to pay taxes to make sure that they don't go, hey, what happened to that guy? Okay, you could literally work yourself down to where you could work a part-time job you know, no name, no good, you know, Nick, whatever service industry thing where you work one day a week for them and for dollars, and the rest of the time, you're just working for yourself and you work when you want. I mean, I don't care if you have to increase your work week from 40 hours a week to 45 or 50 hours a week if you get to choose the exact time you go and how long you're going to stay to work on whatever it is you're working on, it's really easy to do an awful lot of work when it's broken up into little chunks throughout the day, as opposed to sitting down or standing in front of some counter or device for 8 hours solid with just a couple, you know, 15-minute breaks and a 30-minute break for lunch.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, brother, we're down to that terrible wire again. So, you know, with that said, you know, stay true to your morals, stay true to your beliefs, and don't put your name on it if you don't believe it, you know. Don't go in there and, you know, buy it just because that you think that's the only place to get it. You know, there's other places, you know. You gotta go through this world with some wisdom because it is messed up. The money system's corrupt and the government system's corrupt because they're entangled with the money system.
That's it right there.
So
you control the money, you control the people.
Yep. And so
and I'm going to add to your, you know, don't be true to your morals. More importantly, never let your morals stand in the way of doing that which is right.
Exactly.
Examine your morals every day and make sure they actually are just true.
Keep those scales of justice balanced out to your best ability and just be the best person you can and try to work with others and you know, try to do the right thing. Try to feed each other, try to take care of each other and learn as much. And when it comes down to media, whether it be mainstream media or alternative media, step back and look at the big picture and discern for yourself what is the truth. And that's what pretty much everybody out here is seeking. And you know, hopefully here on the Knights of the Round Table, we put it in a balanced way that I don't believe in painting people with a wide brush, Thomas, and I'm sure that you don't either, you know. And not everybody out there in this world is bad. Not everybody out there in this world's out to get us. And there are individuals in the government and every single agency out here who are trying to do the right thing. They're up against the wall. And it's if we want a better world, it's going to be up for us to either support them or not support them according to their works. That's the best I can say.
Right.
So what that's
just as much the person who decides not to support the person trying to do the right thing as it is people who, you know, choose not to do the right thing.
Exactly. Anyway, that's the best I got. You got any final words before I play us up out of here?
Nope. If you got that, you and Stephen get that page 2 from voxablock.com up on there, since, you know, they took my site down from inactivity, the actual server, not the web, the URL's still there. I guess just, you know, start promoting that. Let's get that, get a communal open source network of researchers together to start building a research facility in every area so that people can, you know, have a short trip to get together, even if it's just somebody's garage that decides to donate their garage and, you know, everybody can come together and work on projects and try to, you know, again, it's back to that produce cot. That's where you boycott by making and not buying, you know?
Bring the brilliant minds to the table and let's roll up our sleeves and let's fix this mess that we call our world. That's as simple as that.
Right.
You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you believe in what we're talking about, spread the message. There's people out here just like you that want to get things done, and that's what the solutions is all about. So with that, everybody, thanks for listening to Knights of the Round Table. Stay tuned for the next episode. Peace and love. Take care.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet!
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet! I order you to be quiet!
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how do you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot.
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 It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that our quiet hearts are able. We're off from bad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Fulfills the terrible, and the knights of the round table.